Hey, it's Sean Fennessy. We've got something special cooking on the Prestige TV podcast. I'll be recapping one of my favorite shows, HBO's Barry, every Sunday night with the writer-director star of the show, the great Bill Hader. We'll talk about the show's wild twists and turns, its special brand of dark comedy, and how it all came together. So on Sunday nights, immediately after a new episode airs, you can hear Bill and I break it all down on the Prestige TV pod. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Hello, and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer, and today we're checking in with happy news and summer. But I guess that it's also summer news. So, okay, never mind. Romy and Michelle's high school reunion 25 years later and falling into an outhouse.
Less happy news.
Yeah, less happy news, unfortunately.
All right, so Tea Time is checking in with happy news and summer. Do you guys also remember briefly before I start in the depths of the pandemic where we would like do these categories to make ourselves feel good and be like, let's talk about makeup and be like, just to give ourselves a treat. I'm happy that we're in better places, but we're still going to cover some just like joyful, light summer news.
I'm so excited for this first one. I'm so excited.
Okay, I was shocked that it was not in this outline before I got to it. And I'm so excited to talk to you guys about Coastal Grandma Core.
Oh!
Okay? It's the one that is most closely fit my existing aesthetic and is most closely attainable to the clothes that I have in my closet. So let me tell you about it. So I'm not going to quote the entire Glamour article, but a Glamour article described Coastal Grandma Core really well. Okay, so I'm just going to briefly do some highlights of how to describe this aesthetic. It refers to the crisp, money, perennially summertime lifestyle of a beautifully older woman in a Nancy Meyers movie or in an Eileen Fisher photo shoot.
Oh.
A coastal grandmother doesn't care for thong bodysuits or ketamine. She likes heirloom tomatoes and going to bed early. You guys, this is like us, and us. She likes to wear loose, breathable fabrics and doing strength training by shifting a full glass of Sauvignon Blanc from hand to hand. Okay, it's things like that. Coastal Grandma is just a way of life that I'm really excited about.
Yes.
This TikTok creator, Lex Nicoletta, kind of created it and coined it and has like gotten it pretty popular. And it has gotten popular. Diane Keaton is talking about it because she's like real Coastal Grandma Core.
Pioneer.
She is the, yeah.
Is the woman. Nancy Meyers is talking about it. And then Nancy. Anne Hathaway is posting on Instagram. So is Selena Gomez. Stanley Tucci apparently is a Coastal Grandmother Core as well. Just like give you a spectrum. It doesn't have to be, you know, a woman. So what do you guys think about this aesthetic?
I love it. I'm all for it. I have to say really quick, it does seem to me like cottage core with money.
like cottage core with a budget. But I mean, I love that. I think that's great. So it's aspirational for us
all. Me too, man.
It is aspirational.
It's like everything. I love following Martha Stewart on Instagram. And she just, to me, that is this aesthetic. And it's, again, it's like the most attainable one. Like, yeah, I have freaking linen t-shirts in my closet that I'm ready to whip out at any second.
We love a loose, breathable fabric at tea time.
Put that in the pod description. It needs an update.
I understand what you mean. It also feels a more calm aesthetic. Something about the like cottage core stresses me out because the forest is quite scary to me. Yeah, by the coast is, I think, better.
Right. It's like looking out the window at the ocean instead of like being in a field. You know?
Yes. It's also like if you go to Oprah's Instagram too, that's another Instagram I love. It's everything Oprah's doing. It's like those little loose sweaters. When she has her like, she's like, it's summer gourd season and she has her whole basket of like fruits
she's like
and
a
vegetables.
Cornucopia of
Oprah
is an elite coastal grammar core.
I love what she
has. Have you guys seen the TikTok where like they'll do the wrap, the cardigan wrap, like the, you know, like you see in movies where, you know, Big Little Lies they go outside and they have their loose cardigan and they wrap it and like fold their arms. Like that to me is like also peak.
That is so Nancy Myers.
I mean, Big Little Lies, also great coastal grammar core. Anyway, I just love this trend and it's very calming to me, especially for summertime. So you guys need log off of Princess Polly, go to coastal grammar core TikTok and find yourself some new pieces because that's what I'll be doing.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. That's really funny.
Okay. Next one, Amelia.
You know, I was trolling people just because that's where I am right now and that's fine. And I saw this really sweet article about, and the headline is former NBA player J.R. Smith, who won a championship or two, I think, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, like he was LeBron's teammate, named Academic Athlete of the Year at North Carolina A&T. And you might be thinking, isn't this guy like in his mid-30s? What's going on? Well, he is retired from the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's on the golf team, and he wanted to go back to college and earn a degree, which I think is so awesome.
That's sweet.
And and he says, Smith, 36, was awarded Academic Athlete of the Year at North Carolina A&T State University after finishing his first year with a 4.0 GPA.
Wow.
And it's great. I think it's like, what a nice, happy, sweet little piece of news. You're never too old to go back to school, you know?
That is so great. You,
people, just great. Well, actually, People's notoriously has those like really dark articles as well, but sometimes they'll deliver.
I have to say really quick, and this is not to like be a downer. I just have questions. An 18-year-old senior, you're graduating high school, you've been a golf star at your high school. You're like, I'm going to go to whatever school it is. What is it? North Carolina, you said?
North Carolina, A&T or something. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, can't wait to like get this golf scholarship, be a starter on the North Carolina A&T golf team. And then you lose your spot to fucking 30-something-year-old NBA star, J.R. Smith, who has decided that his midlife crisis is going to be joining the college golf team.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Come on.
It's so annoying.
Oh my. Well, fine. Ruin this happy news.
You are the Debbie Downer of our lives. God. I cannot believe it.
I'm sorry.
As Liz would say, you Scrooge. Oh my gosh.
Jeez Louise.
I'm really sorry.
Can't have any fun.
But that is really funny to me.
We are moving it over to you. Let's see if you can salvage this.
Okay.
And the mood.
This is kind of random. I was supposed to talk about summer movies, and then CinemaCon has been happening this week. And listen, I know the big picture, the town, they're going to be all over this. But there are things that I know they will not give the proper amount of attention to. So I'm going to take some highlights from CinemaCon and just, you know, give you the tea time angle on the things that we care about. First of all, Lady Gaga has done a song for Top Gun Maverick. They released some posters for it. In the first one, she is prostrate on flag, like spread eagled. As if she is being crucified, like Jesus on the cross.
Crucifixion,
she is in kind of the classic like tank top, which is kind of, I think, like the callback to Top Gun. She's kind of got like necklace that looks like dog tags. But other than that, she also released a poster where she's like in this ridiculous red gown. It almost looks like a Hunger Games, like Effie Trinket vibe, then with like jets flying behind her. So to me, I was like, this looks made up, but it's real. She wrote a song for Top Gun Maverick called Hold My Hand. And she, it features the lyrics, "If you decide to, I'll ride in this life with you. I won't let go till the end." She said, "When I wrote this song for Top Gun Maverick, I didn't even realize the multiple layers it spanned across the film's heart, my own psyche, and the nature of the world we've been living in. I've been working on it for years, perfecting it, trying to make it ours. I wanted to make music into a song where we share our deep need to both be understood and try to understand each other." So Lady Gaga just really put her all into the song for Top Gun. I have questions about when in the movie it will play. Is it going to be like, you know, an Oscars bullshit credits song? Or my choice would be, there's only one Lady Gaga appropriate moment in any Top Gun movie, which is the homoerotic sports scene that is legally required to be included.
The volleyball scene.
Volleyball scene in the first one. The trailer for Maverick includes like shirtless guys throwing a football on the beach. So I'm hoping that is when Lady Gaga, you know, sings her song. So maybe some slow motion, like sweaty Baywatch running. That to me is the most accurate sort of match of content to Gaga in that movie. But otherwise just seems like a really weird fit for me. But I can't wait. I can't wait to experience it in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
Number two, Timothy Chalamet is Wonka, as we know. And this seemed like news to a lot of people. I thought we knew this because we had that first look from the like witness in the town where they were shooting the movie that Liz so helpfully laid out for us several months ago. This movie is a musical, which I believe we knew.
Oh, it is?
But I didn't know that.
Yeah,
maybe
I didn't
not.
Know that
maybe this is news. Maybe I just, I don't know, manifested this news in my brain. This movie is a full musical. It features Timothy Chalamet, a return to little Timmy Tim of years past. The first look at CinemaCon showed him dancing through the streets, trying to give chocolate to the people, despite trying to be run out of town by police and clergymen.
Oh.
So apparently he sings about an invisible thread that connects us all. And however, this movie comes out in December 2023.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that is a lifetime to wait.
It's a long time.
For this movie. So
it's a long time.
I guess we'll circle back closer to that, but that's really far away. Also really quick, Greta Gerwig's Barbie is going to open on the same day as Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, July 21st, 2023. Clear your calendars. Funny to me and much of Twitter, because there were a lot of memes about the difference between these two movies. I don't know if you guys have seen the meme from like Santa Monica where it's like the black beach house next to the pink beach house. People are like Barbie and Oppenheimer, like people going to both movies. I also love to think about like the vast majority of Ringer podcasts will be about Oppenheimer that week, whereas I think we will probably be on the Barbie beat. Oppenheimer stars Cillian Murphy. It's about the inventor of the atomic bomb. I actually love a Christopher Nolan movie. I love Dunkirk, so I will see this. Probably not day of. Greta Gerwig's Barbie stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken. And they released the first look and everyone was like, oh my God, she looks so much like Barbie. She's like in a car. She's got a headband. But also like Margot Robbie just looks like Barbie. Like she's a beautiful blonde woman and now she's in a pink car with a headband. So like, exactly. I mean, yeah, she does. But she always does. And then one more shout out to a spring movie that I'm just very excited for. And that's the Bob's Burgers movie.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe they're making it a movie.
It's worth it. It's worth it. I was just like, anytime I just, you know, you're flipping through things. You're like, I don't know what to watch. Nothing feels right. I want something light and entertaining.
Yeah,
totally. Just put on Bob's Burgers. It hits every time.
It does.
So
it's great.
I'm excited for that. They deserve it.
Yeah. They do. I thought this was just like, I didn't know this was a CinemaCon movie,
so I
just put in another movie. But I guess that Nicolas Cage movie is out.
The one where he plays himself?
Yeah, so I really want to see it.
Interesting. Wait, while we're shouting out movies, I originally had this in here and then deleted it because I got self-conscious of my it didn't make sense, but now it does because we're just throwing out ideas. Please, everyone listening, go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once in a movie theater. I despise the movie theaters, and I went to go see it because everyone told me it was like such a singular experience to go wow. see it in that setting. So if you listen to one thing I say, please go watch that movie.
I saw it as well, and it's really fun. And
oh you'll my never, God.
You'll never eat an everything bagel the same way.
Oh my God, oh. we'll have to just, okay, I'll find out about that.
Damn.
All right, yeah, next category. Next one, not worth the tea, this week in social media and relationship news. I can't believe we're talking about this next one again. Is it? Go ahead.
It's just, I don't understand them, whatever. So apparently, Shailene Woodley and Aaron Rodgers have broken up again. Were they ever not together? I don't know. It's confusing. People, again, shout out to people, they have a source saying it wasn't making her happy. So I guess she was just like, I don't want to be in this relationship. And I guess who can blame her? So
they're done now?
I guess they're done. I don't, but who knows with these two? Honestly, who knows? And it's just, I don't know. I've been seeing reports that he pressured her into coming back a couple of months ago, which is gross. But I mean, I don't know if that's actually true. But yeah. I just, you know what? I don't even know anymore. Free yourself.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Thank you.
Society.
Yeah, it's true.
Well,
it's
speaking of wanting to move on as a society, I'm surprised, again, Kate, that you didn't take this, but it was open season. And I'm going to tell you about how Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox drink each other's blood. So she was being interviewed by British Glamour magazine. And here's what she said. She also talked about a lot of other things, her position in Hollywood. So there is other important things to know, and you should go watch that. Of course, we just have to pick out the weird, the zany, the whatever. So she said, they drink each other's bloods. And she was like, I guess to drink each other's bloods, it might mislead people, or people are imagining us with goblets and we're like in Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. It's just a few drops. But yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only. And she then continues and said, and it's controlled where it's like, let's shed a few drops of blood and each drink it. He is much more haphazard and hectic and chaotic, where he's willing to just cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, what? Take my soul.
Okay, that's...
Okay, too far. We've gone too far. Remember too when far? I said that I found them entertaining until they went too far?
Well, this is it.
This is the line.
Finally reaches the line.
Here's the thing. It's been done. You know, like... If you're going to do something weird and freaky and annoying that you want people to talk about, like the drinking blood thing is overdone at this point.
Sure.
Like, can we find...
No, I believe you. Yeah.
Can we find something new and more creative to gross people out with? Because like, it just seems like it's just old stuff.
I don't want to think about
that. Like, me either. Me either. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the Angelina Jolie, like they've already done it.
Oh, that's true.
They've already done it.
She did that like 20 years ago.
So old.
But what is the whole... I want to know about the rituals. Are they talking more about that?
Yeah, exactly. Get into
what
the
is
witchy
this ritual?
Stuff. Right. Like, break new ground with your annoying, freaky TMIs.
Bet,
you know?
That they are like committing to each other on like a different plane and like a different universe and like bonding their souls, like that kind of ritual. You know what I mean?
Right.
It feels like in the name of their romance and their like everlasting love.
Yeah. I would love to know specifics.
Me too. She did.
Are
not.
You following? Like, do you look them up online?
I'm sorry, but like, that's how you get hepatitis. You know,
it's just not. That's how you get a whole lot of things.
That's how you get a whole lot of things. It's not sanitary.
They probably already have a whole lot of things. That is well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. And I actually will need a little bit of Amelia's help helping explain this. And it caught me only because I was scrolling TikTok, and the TikTok official account posted this video of Paris Hilton. And the caption was like, we challenged Paris Hilton to give us the next trending sound, and she delivered. And I click on the video, and she's so weird. I was so disappointed, but I also didn't know that her like, so she goes, sliv your best life or something like sliv it up, like something about sliving. And I have never heard this. And you actually, when I sent it to Tea Time, you were like, oh yeah, that's kind of like her thing.
She's been trying to make this a thing for the past 5 years.
Are you joking? I have never
heard. No, I'm not even making this up. She's literally had these t-shirts. Like, before, I've seen it before the pandemic. So it's been a while. And this is literally the same plot line as Karen in Mean Girls when she tries to make fetch happen. And she's like trying all the time. Paris Hilton's doing the same thing with this freaking sliv word. And it's really only catching on between her and her stans.
Wait. So, okay. That's so weird. I had literally never heard about this. And also, you know what? I just have such a problem with like And it started with freaking Julia Fox. Like, celebrities now purposely trying to give these sound bites that will go viral on TikTok. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe, I think it will. Obviously, she's Paris Hilton. She'll have thousands of people using it. But I'm just like, oh, God, that's the last thing. If we're going to talk about Paris Hilton, I want to talk about her running around Coachella and her bodyguard having to, like, jog with her to keep up. That's entertaining. But I hated this live your best life. So thank you for explaining.
Also, it's not a useful word either. Like, we already have one. You know?
Yeah, it's called, like, lib, minus lib. The S.
You don't like, if you're creating a new word, it has to, like, have a new meaning or usage.
At least, like, fetch existed in the English language. Yeah, I don't know. Tough. Okay, another just Kate rant at the end of this category. Go ahead, Kate.
I just need a minute. Okay, I said that I was going to run through my 24 hours of Harry Styles related breakdowns, but I think it's more like 36 hours at this point. Really quick, it has been an exhausting 36 to 48 hours for the Harry stans, especially on the tail end of both Coachellas. It's just like, I just need a break. First of all, he did a photo shoot for Better Homes and Gardens, which is a hilarious and amazing choice of publication for a Harry Styles profile and photo shoot. It makes a little bit more sense considering his album is called Harry's Home. I would love to have like been in that meeting where people were like, let's do Vanity Fair. Like, let's do, you know, whatever. And someone was like, here's an idea. Let's get a little weird. It's called Harry's Home. Let's do Better Homes and Gardens.
I love that.
It was fun. The photo shoot was fun, you know, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That was the first thing. Second thing, same day, bachelor party with Juliet Littman and Callie Curry had on Kate Gallivan, who I previously knew nothing about. and she told a story about a date that she went on with Harry Styles. It's about 10 minutes long. I cannot recommend it enough if you have any feelings whatsoever about Harry Styles. It is hilarious and just very rewarding and has kind of a twist ending. And my ongoing question is, I need him to write a song called Kate so that I can project onto that song. Her name is Kate. I'm like, listen, it just seems like a missed opportunity here. I think it could still happen. Third, same day, Don't Worry Darling trailer was screened at CinemaCon. It has not been released yet. I actually have a feeling it will be released like tomorrow, unless the thing I'm about to get into next has delayed it at all, but it may be out by the time this podcast comes out, but it reveals Harry Styles and Florence Pugh enjoying some watermelon sugar, if you will, on the dining room table. So a lot of reports about that. A lot of Harry Styles fans being like, okay, but when can we see the trailer?
The trailer's going to show it?
Yes, it's in the trailer.
Oh,
supposedly.
Wow.
The main feature of the trailer. And I saw these headlines and then I went to my calendar and like marked the release date of this movie on my calendar.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm ready. However, plot twist again. Yesterday, I was in a recording for a Ringer Dish and I came out of the recording. It was like an hour and a half. It was a long pod. And I felt like Jared Leto must have felt when he came out of the desert. You know, he was in the desert. He was in like that cult for like 3 weeks and he came out and it was like when the pandemic started and he didn't know about COVID.
Right.
And people were like, this has happened while you were gone. And he didn't quite believe it. This is how I felt coming out of this long recording and seeing headlines that Olivia Wilde was presenting the Don't Worry Darling trailer at CinemaCon when she was on stage, served custody papers by a man representing Jason Sudeikis. She opened literally like mid presentation. A man walks onto stage. I'm told, according to AV Club, he tossed the envelope at her feet and left the stage. Ooh. Apparently, she thought it was a script. She like made some sort of like comment thinking that someone had given her a script, which like a man would do. Like a man would walk up on stage at CinemaCon and toss his script at Olivia Wilde and walk away. Like the sheer confidence. But she apparently like opened it, looked at it, thought it was a script, made some joke. And then went back to the presentation. Turns out they were custody papers that she was being served with. The Jason Sudeikis reps have released a statement saying like he had no prior knowledge of the time or place that the envelope would be delivered. He would never condone it being done in such an inappropriate manner. A lot of people online are like not Team Olivia. She's not super popular with like the Harry fans. And I think a lot of people still really like Jason Sudeikis. So there are a lot of theories like, oh, she must have been avoiding this. And this was the only place they could get her, which is simply not true. Like even if she was avoiding it, like you can't find any other access to Olivia Wilde at any other point in time than literally in the middle of this presentation on stage. Yeah. Like, that's not true.
Every day I see paparazzi photos of her strolling through New York.
In the middle of the street.
Grab her then.
There's any other time that you could have done this. And I'm sure more will come out on why this happened and how, but it just seems insane. Like, an insane thing to do. I don't know if it was purposeful from Jason Sudeikis or if it was some other thing, but really tough. Really tough.
That is tough.
So yeah, that's the big news last night and today.
I know. That was biggest news at the last
night. Perry adjacent. I suppose, but crazy, literally crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of my wrap up. It's been an exhausting 36 hours of Harry Styles fandom for
Pray
yours
for Kate.
Truly. Please do.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Let's do cringe mode. We are covering Romy and Michelle's high school reunion 25 years later. So excited to discuss this. Amelia and I really like this movie. Kate has never seen it. So Kate, would you please take us through the plot?
Yes. Honestly, incredibly simple. Romy, it's Romy, right? Romy and Michelle are two best friends. They are living in LA and they, you know, love fashion or are not the brightest in the world. And they run into an old high school classmate who tells them that a high school reunion is happening, their 10-year high school reunion. And basically they make a plan to be really successful, get great jobs and great boyfriends and show up at this reunion and just, you know, show all their old bullies and all the old mean girls and the popular boys, like how hot and successful they've become. So they go on this, you know, kind of road trip to the reunion. They show up at the reunion, hijinks occur, they reunite with an old flame and, you know, the mean girls, and they ultimately are kind of like show everyone who's boss. They do a dance routine. We'll talk about it. It's a whole thing. And, you know, they make friends with kind of the weird girl that they saw at the beginning. And yeah, they just show everyone that, you know, it's not about how much money you make at the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do it. Let's do the highlights. Go ahead, Amelia.
This movie starts out with the No Doubt song, I'm Just a Girl. And you know, the minute it drops, this is going to be a great movie. You just know it's going to be a fun. And you know, this is not, I don't mean to demean it by any means, but like, it's going to be a great chick flick. Like, you're just, it's going to be for the girlies and you're going to fucking love it. Yeah.
This, I put this at the end, but this makes too much sense here. This soundtrack is so good.
It is.
There are so many fun songs. Like, the amount of go-go songs that are in this, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
The beginning and end especially, it just ends on such high notes musically, and it just makes me want to dance. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I guess also, I love that, Liz, when you mentioned Princess Polly, the Princess Polly boutique, I'll mention it again because it is, you know, one of those popular influencer online clothing stores that influencers obviously are always trying to, you know, they're like, I got it from here, ad. The fashion that they wear in this film, literally everything can be bought on Princess Polly and like all those other influencer online clothing stores. It's like everything old is new again. Once again, everything old is new and everyone loves it. And I am just literally everything they wear in this film, from their like little crop tops to their tiny little mini skirts and the dresses. And she's wearing a like a tiny little just button down, tight fitted with a pattern. Like, I swear to God, I saw it just the other day on like vergegirl.com. Like, you know what
God,
I mean?
I just bought something from there. Yeah.
Me too.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. The matching sets, the way the outfits that they work out in. Oh my God. Yes. It's just incredible. And they love fashion, and that's a through line. And they actually they design and sew all their own clothes.
Yes.
So it's not like they're buying it off the street. And then also a through line is like, these mean girls are like, ew, what the hell are you wearing? And at the end, this like high editor at Vogue is like, actually, I like it.
I love
and then
that.
It ends happy because they have a clothing store like on Rodeo. So it's really nice.
So good. So good.
Also, the deadpan delivery on not just Lisa Kudrow and Mira Sorvino, which is Romy and Michelle, but on basically everyone in this movie, also Janine Garofalo, is so good. And it's so unique.
So
and I think like Kate Kua hadn't, I think the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is, I don't know, just like, it's just more unique, a more unique delivery and like way of like the movie than what we watch now. But it works and it's so good. And you're right, like they are, it's like funny because they're like not, they can't, you know, hold good jobs. They like pretend that they're the inventors of Post-its. They like whatever.
I love that.
But this came at a time where like mostly men were doing these stupid dumb tropes like Bill and Ted and Dumb and Dumber. And like to have two women be like really owning in that kind of like role and like humor, I loved. And I liked it better than
so true
those other
I'm
movies.
So glad you mentioned Bill and Ted. That's the perfect comparison where it's like, dude, like the equivalent of like, dude, that, but like switched on to like the like bimbo sort
women,
of like tone.
Yeah,
it's great. It's
that
great.
That is so funny. Can I just say a couple of my favorite lines?
Please.
Okay,
please.
So one of my favorite ones is like, it's when Romy is talking to the A group or whatever, and she's just like trying to fill time, and she has like a cell phone, and she goes, if anyone needs to make a call, I've got a phone.
That like, was so good, Amelia.
Oh, thanks. That's
amazing. The little accent, nailed it.
I know, the
amazing.
Valley girl. It's really funny. And then what is her name in the movie? Oh my gosh. It's the friend who invented the quick burning
cigarette paper.
Heather, thank you, yeah. And she goes, Sandy Frank arrives. She goes, that's Sandy Frank? What the hell was I thinking? It's just like, it's so funny. It's so, all these little one-liners are so good.
Oh, it's so, so good.
Yes. They do all these flashbacks to their high school time. Like when, you know, they're going through the yearbook, they're deciding whether or not they should go to the reunion. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of reminiscing on what happened when they were in high school. And because it's featuring the same like adult actors that are in, you know, 80% of the rest of the movie, they're playing themselves in high school outfits. It's kind of like early, like Pen 15 vibes almost.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
They don't do any like de-aging or anything. it's just like Lisa Kudrow in a back brace and braces with frizzy hair being like, I'm a high school student. And it's intentionally funny, but it's also unintentionally funny where like you're just looking at these like 30-something year old actors just like absolutely committed to like their high school student roles. And it's just like, it's just peak comedy.
It is.
Also, I highlight that this was the only thing that I knew was coming in this movie, other than the high school reunion as a concept. But I had seen clips of this, but I'd never seen it in full. It's the dance routine, obviously, that they do with Sandy Frank, Alan Cumming. honestly just blew me out of the water. I thought I knew yeah. what was coming, and then you really don't. The interpretive dance, the when he gets on the floor and like they are circling him, mm-hmm. and it we one of these days we should like maybe this year when we do the Cringe Mode Awards, we'll have to talk through like the best dance routines in the Cringe Mode movies that we've watched one. Because mm-hmm. it comes up a lot. This is all time. Like yeah. it really is incredible.
It's great.
And the best part is everyone loves it on the dance. Like it wins over their entire high school class. Like they exactly. end up on top, which is how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Okay, let's do some low lights, Kate.
This was just a me problem where like I didn't know what to expect from this movie. This is 2 weeks in a row when I had incorrect expectations or just went in not knowing enough. The tone that Liz mentioned with like the Bill and Ted, like sort of like deadpan, mm-hmm. dummy Valley Girl humor just yeah. really took me by surprise. Like right off the top, they're watching Pretty Woman, making fun of it, mm-hmm. but also like, I wish that were me. And mm-hmm. they just have like this kind of like quick, again, like very deadpan, very straight faced delivery of these lines. And I was like, oh, like what? And then once, you know, 10 minutes in, I was like, okay, like I understand what they're doing. But it took yeah. me, it was a little bit of an adjustment as someone who just like didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, sure.
But it is really good. Once you get into it, it's really funny.
This time for the pod, I was doing research as opposed to just like watching it. I did not realize that Lisa Kudrow has a degree in biology from Vassar. And Servino has a degree in Asian studies from Harvard University.
Damn!
Wow.
Holy shit.
So they're both like I love geniuses. It even more. Yes. They're like yeah. kind of more idiotic, like deadpan.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Delivery. Okay. There's a moment in this movie where it's in kind of an alternate universe. This doesn't actually happen.
It's like a dream state, right?
Yes. Yeah. This doesn't actually happen to Michelle, AKA Lisa Kudrow. But in this dream state, she gets knocked the hell out by a limousine and like flipped 1,000 times before rolling over. And this movie doesn't have a lot of physical comedy. It has a lot of just like, you know, humor between the lines and kind of like dry, witty. Yeah. And to have some, she gets knocked around like a rag doll. Like I think they took some puppet and was like twirling her around across a limousine. And it was really shocking to see and also like totally not what this movie has like set my expectations right. to be.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
I hate when people get hit by cars in movies for even for just for laughs. Like yeah. when it's not, I don't know, something about it, I'm always like, oh no.
Very stressful.
No.
It's stressful. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Speaking of the stream state, last time I watched it was on Hulu. And I'm not going to blame Hulu. I'm going to blame myself. Maybe I like went to go do something or maybe I reloaded it and then it skipped about 35 minutes in the middle of the movie because I would have sworn on my life that I watched this for the first time all the way through, I guess, didn't realize. But there's a part where like Romeo and Michelle, it's this dream sequence where Michelle sees what their lives could have been if they actually like broke apart and didn't stay friends. They didn't talk for their entire rest of their lives. They're on their deathbed and like they still fight and never make up. And then of course it like zooms back and they fix their friendship. It's all good. But I did not know that occurred in this movie. And I was so thrown off. Like there were two versions that I've seen, but it's not. It's Hulu or something. I don't know what
That's
happened,
weird.
But I've never seen like a good chunk of this movie, I guess.
Huh. Weird. It's like that Netflix, like choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Thing where
oh
like
my
you,
gosh.
You suddenly are seeing a different version than the past versions.
You skipped something.
Maybe
really
that's
odd. Really
also, it's
odd.
Just rude that they took it off of Hulu. Like,
yeah.
I
why
know.
Do they keep doing, why does Hulu keep doing us like this? They took off Hunger Games too.
That is
Hulu.
Messed up.
Get it together.
They can tell when we're doing cringe mode.
They're already a subpar streaming service. Like,
wow.
you gotta get it together.
Wow. Okay, let's do what has aged the best and the worst. Amelia.
I would say just this movie is dated, clearly dated, but in a really just good, fun way. I don't know. It's like, it's just very, you know, 90s, but it's really, it's fun. It holds up. Just everything about it is just really funny and fun. So
yeah, it
agreed.
Is. It's also like just like more simple, which like I like. Mm-hmm. Just simpler way of life. They have like the one phone that they don't use and don't know what to do with on the road. And that's kind of it. What is age? Probably the best for them, worst for me, is that my 10-year high school reunion was last year and I was traveling. I was out of town legitimately, but I have never been so relieved to know that I had like an excuse not to go. So the fact that they wanted to go is good for them. They did want more redemption than I think I ever need or want, but yeah, they did want to go. And then
Amelia, did you go to yours?
I didn't. No. Just because
you attempted at all?
I think I was in LA too. I was just like, I don't want to make a one trip to the high school reunion.
Would
like,
you go if you still lived in the city that it was in? If they had it right now, would you go?
Maybe it would depend on if some of my friends were going.
Right. That's the big factor, I think, for me too.
Because I don't want to stand there and just like talk to everyone about like, what are you doing now? It's just like, that's awkward conversation I don't need.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, Kate, when's yours? God, hopefully soon.
I graduated in 2017. No, I graduated in 2013, 2017. That was college. I graduated in 2013, so it'll be next year.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to go?
Not if it's, I mean, and I'll be here and it'll be in Indiana. So yeah, I would not make the trip just for that.
All right. What has aged the best is a line that I love and comes up a lot, like in pop culture, I feel like, which is when Romeo and Michelle, as the inventor of Post-its, are in their business suits and their slick back coiffed hair. And they go into this diner on the road from LA to Tucson. And this woman who doesn't give a hell about who's coming in and out. And they're like, I'm not going to be able to say or like do the proper voice, but it's like, do you have some sort of businesswoman special? And the woman is like, what are you talking about? And I just feel like I have seen and read and heard that line over and over through the years. And I really like it.
It's good.
Very funny.
And you already said this in highlights, but I think it's worth repeating genuinely. The styling has aged so well. And not just the clothes, like the hair, they have the curtain bangs with the volume and the curls and the Romy's hair especially, I think looks, I think Michelle's is like a little more like comedically like arranged, but in some of the scenes, Romy just has like the very like in sort of like mid bob curled, blown out with your, you know, Dyson Airwrap.
Oh my gosh.
Look, like every statement earring so in this movie, like you could go on Shein right now and buy. Like this is totally, like you said, it just like in our current, you know, maybe in 5 years, like we're going to be wearing something different. So like maybe then we'll be like, it's actually aged badly. But like in this specific current moment with like our online Gen Z fashion trends, it is like 1000% ripped from this movie.
Oh, agreed. God. So funny.
All right. Let's do MVP.
Lisa Kudrow is just hilarious in every role ever. She's so funny
so good.
In everything she's ever done. Mira Sorvino is good too. I don't want to be like, you know, but Lisa Kudrow is just brings something special. She's just really, really funny.
Also we're not going to get too dark, but just justice for Mira Sorvino. Like she should have had a different career.
She
should have. Unfortunately, due to horrible fucking men in the entertainment industry, namely Harvey Weinstein, that did not happen. And that really sucks because she really shines in this movie and she's like great comedic actress.
She has the better accent too. She really commits to the
and
ballet girl accent.
She just won an Oscar at the time. She was like this rising star and it all got derailed. So, I do love Lisa Kudrow in this movie as well. And a lot of the lines, I was like, oh, like, I feel like that's like Phoebe Buffay, kind of like the delivery. But regardless, I love it. I love anything. As long as it's her, I just.
That particular brand of like goofy, blonde, but like not in the usual way, like kind of in a deranged way. She's just so good at it. She's so good.
She's so funny. Yeah. I would just say their relationship, just the way their chemistry on screen is really fun and perfect together. And you can just tell that they're friends in real life. And then I think they were at the SAG Awards. I think it was the SAG Awards a few months ago. And they were back on stage together and they looked great. So, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, that was cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, lightning round questions. What was the best look? I'm going to give it to their workout outfits in general are iconic. Romy, definitely, especially. She had this matching two-piece green workout set when they go to a spin class. And it's, again, we're like beating a dead horse, but like Aloe Yoga has come out with that in 10 different colors at this point. And it's perfect. And it's like nonsensical for a workout class, but also it kind of works. And I just absolutely love it. It's bright, bright green. And it's like a little strappy t-shirt bra thing and a little skirt.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah.
Amazing.
Kate?
There are so many options. Also, like there's a costume change every 5 minutes in this movie, which is also great. Like, not only are all the looks great, but there are just so many. Like, every single scene, there's a new outfit for, like, no reason. Which is, that's what we want, really, in a cringe mode.
It's true.
If I had to choose, I would go with Michelle when she's doing, like, a job interview of some sort. She is in this, like, buttercup yellow two-piece, like, suit skirt set. But it has, like, these big buttons, and it has, like, a plaid, like, gingham print cuffs and collar. And then also, I think what makes all of these also is the accessorizing. Like, as someone who doesn't accessorize, like, they always have a matching headband, matching earrings, matching bracelets, matching shoes. You know what I mean? I'm like, it just makes the whole thing. Like, we as a society, I think, need to go back. Not me personally, but the TikTok girlies. The accessories just really put it all over the top.
I agree. I love, there's a moment when, again, like you're saying, they do outfit changes all the time. So, like, literally any outfit change they do. But there's this one where they're sitting in a laundromat and Romy is wearing this, like, playing card. It's like the number 3 playing card, 3 of hearts shirt that I just feel like I've seen just everywhere now. And she's wearing, like, this little polka dotted mini skirt, and she looks so cute. And she's also accessorized with these bangles. And then I'm looking at Michelle, and she has this top that I swear I've, like, seen at Reformation or something. Like, it's just like everything. It's just, they're all, everyone is taking cues from these ladies. So, you know.
And I can't, we didn't mention this, but, like, great Halloween costume is obviously the outfits that they show up in the high school reunion. It's like the matching pink and blue dresses. Also, Kate, what I didn't realize was how tall they are, and they are in such sky high heels.
That, like, is true.
Romy's 5'10. Lisa, or whatever, Michelle, I, like, keep interchanging the two of their names, but tall girls in high heels, which we love.
Love it. Love it.
Love that.
Okay. Best cameo / minor role, Kate.
We love an Alan Cumming tea time cringe mode.
Oh my God.
Yes. Remember we did, like, 3 weeks in a row with, like, accidental Alan Cumming movies. And he's back. I did not know he was in this. The first time I saw him was in the flashback to high school. It's like playing, they're talking about Sandy Frank. He walks up to the table and it's Alan Cumming, a 40-year-old man. First of all, why are you here? Second of all, I'm thrilled to see you. Yeah. And he does the dance with them at the end, and, like, he's Endgame. And I was like, it's just, also, he looks great. I was like, he's coming, like, as a romantic lead, but actually, like, great bone structure. He's got the eyes. Like, he looks pretty good in this movie. I was like, okay.
He's a cutie. I've given it to Janine Garofalo in this movie, who is Heather, who invents the quick burning cigarette paper, wears dark eyeliner, is kind of, like, moody and, like, kind of the outcast the whole movie. I love her. And you know what else I love her in is Wet Hot American Summer. Cringe mode, baby.
Oh my God.
Can we
do
it? Rewatchables has done that, but we could. It's been a while. It's been a while. I've actually also never seen that. I'm on a run of acting like I've never seen any movies ever.
So good.
It's insane. So, and it's very on theme with, like, the movies we've been doing the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Well, that's funny.
That would be lovely. I would love that. Anyway,
maybe we should do it as, like, a special summer movie once we get there.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, true. Okay. Amelia?
I love the Justin Theroux cameo, just, like, quick, as the weird cowboy who ends up making out with Heather in the end.
Yeah.
He's just there, you know?
I can't believe he's in that movie.
I know, right? It's, like, just, like, a flash. And you're like, oh my God, is that Justin Theroux? And it is.
Yeah. Because he has a hat over his face the whole movie. And then there's, like, exactly. 10 seconds of it. Yeah.
Great reveal. I was like, Justin Theroux? Yeah.
I know, right? And then also, if anyone is a Dexter head, the Trinity Killer's wife shows up as the evil Christy. So,
wow,
for all you Dexter fans, there she is.
Great.
Okay, last lightning round question. Who was the most successful person from your graduating class? And did anyone invent something? That's what I want to know about the inventors.
Yeah.
Liz Kelly, you have to go first, actually, because
I don't want to answer this.
Name one successful person from your graduating class.
Also, successful is very...
I know. I'm trying to think of an inventor or someone.
Come on.
Businessman.
It's okay, subjective.
I'll go last.
It's
about it. Go, Amelia. Do you have one? Do you have an inventor in your class?
I don't think I have an inventor, but, like, we have... I was just hanging out with a girl who became a lawyer. So we have those, you know, like, you're like, oh, damn, you freaking doctor. But we do have randomly this guy who invested in Bitcoin early.
Whoa. And
so he's like a Bitcoin millionaire.
Wow.
That's impressive. Does he tell people? I guess he does. He must tell people that.
Yeah, he was like on the cover of
everyone who's ever invested in Bitcoin tells people about it.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Oh, cover of Forbes, cool. though, that's big. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Slim pickings for me. Not, I mean, you know, I guess relative to that, I asked my brother and sister who it was, and they did not come up with anyone in particular. And so then I texted my best friend from high school, and she goes, "It's you, LOL," which is the exact deranged Romy and Michelle best friend energy that I wanted. Actually, I was like,
sweet.
That is not true, but I do appreciate the sentiment. But then we kind of talked about it more, and it's like Amelia said, like the damn doctors. I do have several friends that were in like all the science classes and have gone into like medical research, like pharmacy. Yes, they're not going to cure cancer, but like they're going to have a very big house someday. So
yeah, exactly. I feel that.
Also, yeah, I don't know, maybe this is an Indiana phenomenon, but it feels like half the people I went to high school with are now realtors.
Really?
I don't know what is going on. Every time I log on to Facebook to like, I guess check Messenger
because sell you a house.
There is always some rando girl from like my social studies class in freshman year who is like trying to sell a house. I'm like, I don't. Why did all of you people funnel into real estate?
That's interesting. You ever have that desire, Kate?
Wow,
going to real estate?
No.
All right.
No. Okay. No? Wow.
Okay. I thought of someone. You know the thing on your laptop that you could install where it's like you have to focus? It's like the little skull emoji and it's like you block all the websites that you... Oh, Amelia, I should send it to you.
Please.
It was like really popular when I was in college and a kid from my grade in high school invented that.
Wait, what does it do?
It like, so you download it, but it's not a bad, it just, it's good to download from the internet because I know it's kind of shady, but it like, you put in a bunch of websites and like, and then set a timer and on your computer, you cannot physically like log onto those websites for an hour or
is
whatever.
Is it called like the blacklist so like, or something?
Productive.
Something. Yeah. I used to do it all the time. I actually need it again.
Oh my gosh. Me too.
I know. I'll go look for it and find the name because I can't remember. Maybe someone's bought it at this point. Wow. But all right.
Cool.
Damn. I was trying to get some Liz Kelly tea and you deftly avoided that question.
Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kate, go ahead.
Oh, Liz. Okay. My unanswerable question, it's going to take an introduction here. It's also from CinemaCon, so bear with me. Avatar 2 was supposed to be released, first of all, in 2014. So let's just, this movie, it didn't start filming. It didn't start production in 2014. It was supposed to be released in 2014. I went on my first date ever to Avatar 1.
Okay. Like,
it has been long since this movie was supposed to come out.
Yeah.
But Avatar 2, the first footage was released at CinemaCon this week. The official title is Avatar, The Way of Water. Now, this movie, the first movie was, you know, all about humans exploring space. They went to this new moon that they had just discovered called Pandora.
They said it was Pocahontas in space, right?
Right. And, you know, James Cameron now for the second movie, you could say, has pivoted away from space exploration and has turned his pursuits to the exploration of Pandora's oceans. Now, my unanswerable question is, Liz Kelly, as a pioneer of this movement, will you be seeing Avatar 2, The Way of Water in 3D when it comes out?
Okay. Is it necessary that I have seen Avatar 1 before seeing Avatar 2? Because I have not.
Will be confused
that.
If you haven't, but I will also be confused probably. You
because
would hate
last
Avatar.
Time you've seen it
so long.
Would I?
Yeah, you would hate Avatar.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've never seen it. From my understanding, there's a big tree and then all the blue people and army. There's and I don't know how tree. Any of them connect, but I would love to see Avatar 2. If this encourages more ocean exploration, people, that's great. What I've been trying to get
it's important
for the last
to the
couple
cause.
Years.
Also, really quick, how do we feel about the return of 3D glasses? Apparently, all the CinemaCon audience had to put on 3D glasses to watch the 3D trailer. This movie is going to be in various versions. Apparently, you can watch it 3D, not watch it in 3D. Will people willingly? That's what I thought too. Had we not moved on from 3D as a society?
Did we do like Spy Kids 3D? Like that was so, I feel like, you know.
Shark and Lava Girl?
Yeah.
Shark Boy Lava Girl?
Oh my God. Yeah. If we, I would love James Cameron to like know that those are the two movies that we have compared him to on this podcast. Tough.
Very so tough. The answer is yes, I will be watching that. Okay, if someone could fill me in on Avatar 1, because okay. I don't want to watch that full movie. Okay, fair. Last question, Amelia.
Yes, so there was news this past week.
I just love that we've been building to this entire podcast. Tease it at the top and very last thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. No, and again, it's from People. So thank you. Shout out to People. I mean, it was reported all over. But they're saying that, so this lady, she visited the Olympic National Forest. Sounds lovely. But she fell into a public outhouse. And this happened on Tuesday, I guess, while trying to fish out her lost cell phone. So, yes, the Brennan Fire Department said that firefighters were dispatched to the top of Mount Walker to respond to a report of a woman in her 40s plummeting headfirst into a vault toilet.
Headfirst?
Into an outhouse, which as you... I'm sure a lot of people know an outhouse is literally just like, you know, wooden, and they've drilled a hole for you to sit on a toilet to relieve yourself of human excrement. So
thank
it's
you
like
for clearing that up.
A pile. Well, I just, you know, just in case people were confused.
That's good.
Yes.
Do they still make outhouses?
Okay.
Well, wait.
Apparently they don't. Okay. Yeah. So there's a couple other details from People I want to just share.
Please.
Okay. So she, and you got to ask yourself, is your cell phone worth this? Because
that's the unanswerable question, right?
Tried to lower herself into the vault with dog leashes.
Oh my God. It was fully premeditated.
She tried lowering herself first into this big, ginormous hole of shit before she then slipped and then plummeted.
Literally, hole of
head
shit.
First. And then the other detail I want to share is that it says after 15 to 20 minutes of attempting to get out, she used her phone to call 911.
Oh, it still
would
worked.
It worked.
Thank
but
God.
Would you not instantly call 911 if you were sitting in a pile of shit and you just fell headfirst into that hole?
No, I would try to get out.
15 to 20 minutes?
Well, my fight or flight would kick in and I would like try to jump
but
out.
15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's a long time.
For sitting in shit is a long time.
That's a long
And also it's like, so she was, what it made it seem like is that she was sitting on this toilet, you know, on her phone, it dropped. Wouldn't you just call 911 to begin with and be like,
with what phone, Amelia?
Okay. That's a great point. So I would go outside.
So you're in the hole and then you call 911.
Yeah. Well, I'd be like, oh shit, my phone dropped in. I'd be like, is there anyone around where that can help me? But I would try to find someone first.
I would. That's also exactly what I would do.
Also, you gotta assume that they're not cleaning those out every hour. She could drive into town.
Are you kidding
she could
me?
Drive into the next state over, bring someone back with her. You know?
I thought you meant like cleaning the shit out.
Right.
No, I was like, no, this shit has been there for a long time.
Also, I have just so many questions. How big is this hole that she could get all the way in it?
She dislodged the sea or something. Didn't that say Amelia in the
article? Okay. I was picturing like this chasm.
She disassembled the seat and housing.
Wow, she tried so hard to get this phone.
So much effort.
Just go outside and find someone else and have them call park services.
Right, exactly.
That's the move. I would never.
There's a photo on this People article of the first responders in front of the outhouse, and this is just a nightmare situation.
But
it's
also,
kind of a big outhouse.
Can we not get a porta potty? Like, why are we still making outhouses? No one wants
this. Well, it's a national forest, Kate. They're underfunded.
You can still
donate.
Have a public
you
restroom.
Donate to the national forest and they'll get you a freaking porta potty.
But
I don't know.
Potties are essentially the same thing, though.
Right. And easier to, like, who is cleaning this outhouse? Who is dealing with this?
I don't think a lot of people clean porta potties, though.
Yeah, but you can just, like, ship it away.
Okay.
Ship it away.
Kai is probably sitting there being like, please wrap this up. This is insane. You guys have been talking about feces for five minutes.
It's layered. There are a lot of layers.
I mean, that is absolutely
story.
Like my nightmare. It's disgusting. It's truly gross.
I just have a lot of questions about her.
This is
strategy.
One of the more puzzling questions we've ever posed on this podcast or like
really
situations
is.
We've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to wrap. That's it. Thank you guys so much if you got here to this moment. Thank you for listening. And thank you to Kaya, our lovely producer sent from heaven.
Sorry about that.
I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.